This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
This is really, really nice. I miss being here, and as much of a blessing as it is to have the honour to be leading the Frankston congregation at the moment, this is my home church, and I'm glad to be here today. So thanks so much for welcoming me back, and I love being at the door and just being able to catch up with people as you come in and all that sort of stuff. And just wanted to let you know what's going on. It's been a pretty fun start to the year. Like, we're only 5 days in, but it's been awesome already. Mel and I have had a night away already, so we're sort of putting in some really good rhythms this year for our marriage and our relationship. And so we've started with that already. We're looking at, how our work sort of functions over the year, how our calendar works for us, all that sort of gear to really make 2025 for us a really healthy space for us to be able to grow in, to minister in, to do life with our kids in. And I just want to encourage you guys as we look at the word today and see what God wants to encourage us with, to be thinking about that stuff as well. A couple of Sundays ago, on the 22nd, we had our first baptism at Frankston in 5 years. We had one of our young adults, yes. One of our young adults was just so convicted that he wanted to step in and do that in his discipleship pathway. And there's just little ways like that that God has been encouraging the church in Frankston with. People are seeing God move in the lives of people. We've got a couple who've made Frankston Church their home who are a missionary couple. They've been over in the Middle East, and they've moved to Frankston because their daughter lives there, and so they wanted to find a church home to base themselves in, and so they've decided to do that at Frankston. And so it's just such an encouraging way to see how God is just doing so many things around us, in front of us, behind us, in the spaces that we don't see yet. That's really, really exciting. And one of the reasons that all of these things are happening is because my home church prays for Frankston. And that's a really important thing. And I'm just so grateful for a community that has the capacity to be able to share their faith, their trust in God for another community who for many years has actually really struggled. And so that's an awesome thing, and I'm just so appreciative, and Mel's just so appreciative of that. I think one of the reasons why it's so exciting, because when we get to stand here on the first Sunday of 2025, we get to look back at 2024 and see in hindsight all of the things that God has done here as well. Like, we've been stepping into the Legacy Project. You guys have been stepping into supporting the revitalization of Frankston. There's been so many community connections happening up at the house at DCC with our team there. There are so many ways that God's been working. And what I loved about our worship this morning was that we got to acknowledge and to stop the thoughts of today and the thoughts of the next week and maybe the thoughts of this year, just to say, you know what, God, you're it. You are all in all. And all of this comes from his hand. And so we get to stop and just be so grateful to God for who he is and what he's done. And we're in a season called renewal season. We're in this time of where we can actually be asking God, what's what's going to be our place for this year, Lord? Where are you leading us this year? What are the things that you want us to step into this year? And as I was looking at that, I wanted to look at the actual word renewal and what it means. And it's this. This is what the dictionary gave me. Renewal is to resume something after an interruption. Have we had any major interruptions in the past little while? Pretty big one back in the early 20s. But that interruption has continued on, hasn't it? And we're feeling the effects of that as we continue in life. But I guess the idea of renewal is not that it's just that we just resume our normal activities after that interruption. We changed because of that. There are things that we do now that we didn't do before, and there are things that we don't do now that we did before COVID and that interruption. Another version of the meaning, it says the action of extending the validity of a license, subscription or contract. So we all know what that's like, especially like during the period after COVID. How many subscriptions did you actually sign up for? Was it? I think we had about 5 or 6 at one point, and all of a sudden Mel's doing our finances, and she's going, "Can you have a look at this?" And I sat there and I'm just going, "Yeah, okay, we need to unsubscribe. We need to drop some of these things off." But is 2025 going to be like that? Are we just signing up for another subscription of church life or faith life or school or work? Are we just signing up again, just ticking the box and going, okay, that's how much it's going to cost. All good. We'll just let that click away for the rest of the year. We'll get to December at the end of this year and go, wow, what happened to that? I need to unsubscribe from some of this stuff. Renewal is the replacement or repair of something. And maybe this is getting a bit closer to where we are in this renewal season. Maybe there's some repair or some replacement of things that have been either missing or broken in our life that we need to deal with this year. Maybe that's what this renewal means for us. But then very interestingly, at the end of all of those definitions it had in brackets, it says, among charismatic Christians, the state of renewal is a process of being made spiritually new in the Holy Spirit. I thought, what dictionary is this? That's amazing. It says this renewal is the call to continual spiritual renewal. And so it seems that renewal's not just a once-off event. It's not just something we resume after an interruption. It's not just something that we tick off for a year. It's a constant renewal. It's this continuing movement in the Holy Spirit and growth in us. Renewal is constant. It's something that we continue doing and we keep growing in this journey of life. And I think one of the things that kind of brings that clearly to me is that renewal, like when Mel and I have repainted our house, we get it the colour that we like and we, you know, have it all done and everything, but then in a couple of years, you start noticing the wear patches or the dings that need filling and repainting. And you go, oh, we really do need to renew the paint, especially on the outside windows. Oh, my gosh. The weather, you know, wreaks havoc on the windows. And if you don't renew the paint on those windows, what happens? You get mould, you get rot. Things start to break away. Things start to degenerate in a way that are irretrievable. And so renewal is such an important thing for us. Like in our spiritual journey, it's such an important thing. And I think this is one of the great things about gathering each week as a community is that we get to actually do this. We get to, in community, be in this process of renewal for the year ahead. And it's just so good. Renewal helps us to mature in our thinking, helps us to process all of the inputs that we get. Because as we get new inputs, we have new information, we have new things to think about and to process and to take on or leave aside. But if we don't if we aren't in this process of renewal, we fill up our banks of information, and then we get to the point where we can't absorb anymore. We don't want to absorb anymore. We actually get to a point where we go, you know what, that's enough, I'm out. And that's not where God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be in this moment of surrender to the excess of information in our life. One of the things that I think that has happened in the season since COVID is that very quickly society did move into a bit of a resume at all costs what we were back into. And we see it so many times. We've tried to resume as we were before in some areas of our life. And maybe this renewal season is about actually just recognizing some of that stuff. Maybe it's spending that time in prayer going, God, where am I stuck here? What's the stuff that I just can't let go of? I think even for the church, there's this loss of a sense of that continual renewal, because that would mean continuing to adapt and to pivot and to change. All of those things that we found such a challenge through that period of time, if we don't go through renewal all the time, then those things become uncomfortable for us. Whereas if we stay on this track of renewal, if we keep asking God to God, I want to go deeper with you. I want you to renew this life of mine in your spirit. And those things like pivoting and changing and moving stuff around doesn't become so uncomfortable. We actually find a freedom in it that we never had before. And I think that's one of the blessings of hindsight of the past few years, is that we've been able to see, you know what, we can actually do this. We can pivot and change and move things around and not have our world crumble around us. And as we move through 2024, I think as a community of faith here in Mount Evelyn and in Frankston together, we've seen and been reminded this faith and discipleship in our lives is not, it's not just a destination. It's not something to tick. We've done that, all good. I've got my faith and my discipleship's all good. It's a thing that keeps growing. It's not a destination. It's the journey of our faith life together. It's like going on a long road trip. Has anyone done a road trip this bunch of holidays yet? Anyone gotten to go away and just drive? Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it? I love driving. I love getting out on the open highway and just seeing the scenery change. Like you go a few kilometres and you get different kinds of trees, and then you get open spaces, and then you get mountains, you get hills, you get all of these different environments to look at. And it's exciting, and you get to look at different things and appreciate how incredible the country that we live in is. But man, if you were doing that long road trip and it was just the same straight piece of road, nothing on either side of the road but dust, it gets boring real quick, right? I remember when we were kids and going on holidays, my mum would always try to find ways of distracting us as kids in the back seat so that we didn't fight. Though it was really my brother and sister that fought. I was sitting in the middle adjudicating and saying, back to your corner, back to your corner. They were terrible. I was the good son. I really was. But Mum would be finding out, why are you laughing? That's true. But Mum would try to find things that would distract us. And so she'd be going, oh, look, kids, there's a termite mound. And we'd go, Mum, that's the 400th one that you've pointed out. We're sick of looking at them. Oh, she goes, oh, look at that tree. Or here, we're crossing a river. Look out, we're going across the bridge. Always trying to distract us. But there was always something new to look at, so that it wasn't boring, so we wouldn't lose interest in the journey, because the journey is half of the thing of going away, right? It's the getting there that's super fun. And I feel like the key to our continual renewal through this year is going to be us relying on listening and trusting the voice of God for 2025. I really believe that. I think when we're not listening to the voice of God in our life, we get so sidetracked so quickly. And what it does is personally and corporately, it raises a level of anxiety in our life when we're not hearing from God. When we don't have the one who created us speaking into our world, into our everyday world, the level of anxiety in us actually raises. Because listening to a trusted voice reduces that anxiety of not knowing what the future holds, doesn't it? If we have a trust in Jesus' power and the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives, then where is there room for anxiety in our life? And I know I'm not trying to mitigate or minimize people's experience of anxiety. That's a real thing. But the voice of God speaking into our lives has the power to take that anxiety away from us, to remove it from our hearts, our spirits, our minds. And so we need to listen closely to the voice of God, but it takes an intentional and deliberate act. We actually have to get into a posture of listening, don't we? We can't just randomly listen to God. We've actually got to concentrate hard sometimes. At least that's for me. I'm very, very distracted. Less so now that I'm on ADHD medication. That's helped a lot. But before that, man, you talked to Mel before that happened, I was very, very distracted. And one of the people who encapsulates this idea of listening to the voice of God and being able to trust who God is in his life is the character Caleb, one of the Israelites who came out of Egypt. So bit of backstory, the people of Israel had been living in Egypt for a long, 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 long time, and they'd become very numerous. Many of us know this story, but for those of you who haven't heard it before, the people of Israel ended up becoming enslaved by the Egyptians. And for 400 years, they almost completely lost their identity. But God stepped in and appointed a character called Moses to lead them out of that place. And through the incredibly powerful acts that God did to release them from that place, they actually made their exodus out of Egypt. And God was going to lead them to a new land, a renewed place. And on that journey, he was going to renew their spirits, renew the relationship with him. He was going to teach them how to live as his people in another place. They get through the Red Sea, they go through the wilderness, and they come to the border of the promised land, which is what God had promised to them. And one of the characters in this story is Caleb. He and Joshua became leaders of the Israelite people in many ways. But when they left Egypt, they were probably babies. When they got to the promised land, they were about 40 years old. So, and it took them 40 years to get through the desert. But in Caleb's life, he would have heard the stories about the miraculous things that had happened in Egypt so that the people could get out of there. He would have heard these stories. He would have been told how miraculously God had led them out, freed them, opened the way through countries where other people wanted to attack. And they get to this place, and God wants the people there to understand what they're about to receive. This is something that they've been promised for generations, that they're going to come to this land and God's going to provide everything for them. And they get to this spot, and it's in Numbers chapter 13 that we start reading here. The Lord said to Moses, "I want you to send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran where they were. And all of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are the leaders that God has appointed to go and spy out the land. They send them into the promised land to spy it out. For 40 days, the number of completion in the Bible. So basically it's saying for 40 days they were out there, they did the job that they were supposed to do. And they come back, including Caleb and Joshua, representing the 12 family tribes of the Israelite people. And what they've brought back with them is some of the stuff that they've found. Massive bunches of grapes, incredibly beautiful fruit, all kinds of produce that they found in this country. They got to see everything they needed and they came back with their report. They said, this place is amazing. And we pick it up from verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land and they gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. So the idea of talking about a land flowing with milk and honey means that the land is producing everything that we need without us doing anything. The bees are producing honey. There's stuff that's naturally growing in this country that's just incredible. The cows are producing milk. We're going to be able to have milkshakes and make custard and all of the good things of life. They see it all and they come back and tell. It does flow with milk and honey, which is what God promised. And they said, here's the fruit. But they said, but the people there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw descendants of Anak there. So the descendants of Anak were like very large people, what we'd probably call giants. They thought they were giants. And they come back. After all these years, the people are right at the door of the place that God was going to give them, which he had promised since Abraham, their descendant, hundreds of years before. But there are some challenges ahead. There are walled cities, and some of the people are huge. But the people have just come through the wilderness and they've seen God drive other people out before them or help them to win battles against other people. He'd fed them in the desert where there was no food. He'd given them water where there was no water. Like water came out of rocks in the desert there. And their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. Like that's one of the most amazing things I've ever read in the Bible. Their shoes didn't wear out. I can't get a pair of shoes to last me 2 years, let alone 40 years. Like, what would you have to pay for a pair of shoes to last that long? But this is the way that God provided. He just provided everything while leading them through the desert. And Caleb silenced the people before Moses. So they've just heard that there's fortified cities and large inhabitants of the land. And Caleb gets up with this sense of confidence that I just find amazing. He silenced the people before Moses and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for certainly we can do it. He's just gone, we can do this. Like, look around. Look what's just happened for the past 40 years. Guys, we should take possession of the land. This is what God's giving us. He steps up. And what he's seen in that land with his own eyes amazed him. And he's so excited that God has brought them to this place. I think it's because he was listening to God. He has this confidence because while his mum and dad were telling him the stories of their exile, telling them the stories of the history in Egypt and the way that God led them out. God was the one who provided for them through the desert. And as he's grown up, walking through the desert with his parents and camping in the desert, watching the manna fall from heaven as God provided food and water and meat, and he's watched and seen all this stuff and he's going, God's got this. I'm listening to the stories and as Caleb, he's going, I can't believe that we're actually doubting that we should go into this land. Caleb listened over all of those years and he saw God come through again and again. He found that his faith could believe for whatever was lying ahead of him. and that he could trust God for all of that, for everything that he couldn't see. So he says, come on, let's go. We can do it. God's going to do it. His faith has been constantly renewed as he's heard the stories. And he's listened to the voice of God in his spirit going, Caleb, step up, let's go. You can do this. And he goes, yes, yes, we can. But as we reflect on this past year, and as we reflect on the year ahead, what's the voice that's loudest in your world? What's the biggest influence in your world as far as thinking about what your year has been like and what your year will be like? What's the loudest voice? Because that's where the influence is going to come from. That's the place where you're going to find the movement towards, because you, when you listen to a voice, you move towards it, right? You listen to it more deeply. You actually want to hear more of that voice when you trust it. But does it give you confidence to trust God with your future? As you look back on this last year, can you see in hindsight the ways that God's provided the food, the water, the incredible shoes, the pathway through difficult seasons? If you can't see that, if you can't see God in those moments, then this is a moment for your life to be renewed. This is a good place to start, to listen again to the voice of God and to train your ear to hear his instruction. The people said, we can't do all this. The men who'd gone up with Caleb said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, this land that we explored devours those who live in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked exactly the same as that to them. Do you feel like somebody's just getting a little bit ahead of themselves and just exaggerating stuff out of trust? No, out of anxiety and fear. Anxiety and fear. But Caleb reinforces what he knows to be true. He says, the land has exceeded our expectations. He goes, it's better than what we ever thought. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who'd explored the land, tore their clothes when they heard these guys exaggerating how bad the land was. They tore their clothes and said to the entire assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into it. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people in the land, because we will devour them. And their protection is gone. Why? Because the Lord is going before us. Their protection is going to melt away. Do not be afraid of them. But they weren't listened to at all. Caleb's gone, don't you guys get it? It doesn't matter how big the people are or how many they are. It doesn't matter if the cities are fortified. You read a couple of chapters further and the people march around one of the cities. After 7 days, they give a shout and the whole thing crumbles to the ground. You go, God has got this. He goes, don't be afraid. We sing about this all the time. Even this morning, we've sung about the glory and the majesty of God, how big he is, how incredibly powerful he is, how everything in our future is in his hand. So It's one song that we sing. It says, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. But the people of Israel weren't trusting that. And maybe sometimes we're in a place where we don't trust that either. When the renewal of our spirit has slowed, or whether we've just been pulled off track, and the things that are to the side and to the right and to the left of us are actually having a greater influence in our thought and in our processes about thinking about our time and our year. The songs of praise that the Israelites sang were forgotten too. And as the songs of praise were forgotten, the voice of God got quieter, because when you praise God, his voice gets louder. You actually recognize who he is. When you take a moment, like we did this morning, you take a moment to go, God, I recognize who you are. I know who you are in my life, and I know that you're good. The Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Man, if there was a time that the Israelites needed to sing their praise songs, it was right then. Because it was the fear and anxiety that just overwhelmed them to the point where they couldn't see God. And he was standing right next to them in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire. Every day they had his presence there, and they forgot because they were so overwhelmed with the fear and anxiety. And we know what it feels like when we don't recognize the presence of God around us, right? Stuff doesn't work. Our lives don't work. Our finances don't work. Our work is a struggle. Our family relationships can become painful and fractured because we don't have the presence of God or recognize the presence of God around us. And that's why singing praise, spending time playing worship music in our car instead of listening to the radio, putting our phones down and getting off social media and just sitting in your lounge and just praising God, recognizing again who he is in your life, brings that back. Because when we don't praise, we forget to trust. When we're praising and when we're reminding ourselves, oh, God, you are higher than anyone else. You can relax. You can sit back and you go, thank you, Lord. I mean, Moses speaks to God about the fact that the Israelites were about to face these things. And Moses says to the Lord, they've already heard, God, that you are with these people. And that you, Lord, have been seen face to face, that your cloud stays over them, that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He says, everyone who we're coming up against knows what's going to happen. They've already heard the stories about Egypt's destruction. But the people have forgotten that. That's why Caleb was so confident, because he reminded himself each day that the pillar of cloud and fire is here. The presence of God is with us. He was so confident of it, actually, that even in Joshua chapter 10, once the people have gone back through the wilderness for another 40 years, Caleb and Joshua were the only two of the spies that actually remained alive after that period of time. And they had to go back around through the desert again for another 40 years. Can you imagine how much patience Caleb had with those people, or that he would have had to have? He goes, guys, we were right there. I told you we could take it. And now we're going another 40 years. Thank you very much. But he says to Joshua, as they've come into the promised land, he says, now then, I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. And just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for another 45 years since the time he said to his Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to get to the battle now as I was then. So give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and that their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, like right now at 85, he goes, the Lord helping me, I'll drive them out just as he said. That confidence has never left this guy. What an astounding thing to say. This kind of faith is so inspirational for me, and I love this, just this rock solidness of Caleb's faith, because he's been listening to God. He's been watching what God does. He says, I'm good to go. There's no age limit to being involved in the kingdom of God. No age limit. You're never too young and you are never too old to work in the kingdom, to fight for the kingdom. As Jody would say, maybe there's a word for a couple of people in the room today. You're never too old. When you know and you trust the voice of God in your life and you know what he's done in the past, you can see the stuff that he's done in your life, man, there's no reason not to go forward. It's God who makes us ready and renews us to take on the challenges and seasons ahead. And Caleb's conviction was that God could do anything through him. And I'm absolutely convinced of the future of Discovery Church Frankston, because I've seen God create and provide for a future here at Discovery Church Mount Evelyn. I've heard the stories of those who've come before me about how this building and this property was purchased and built debt-free. Who does that nowadays? No one. The ways that God provided for this house over the years that it's been here are just miraculous. The future is in his hands, all of it, not in mine. And because of that, I am so confident of the future for Frankston, stepping into a land of milk and honey. Not that it won't come with challenges. We know there'll be situations that will seem like fortified cities. And there'll be people who are way too formidable for us to deal with on our own. But that's okay, because God is leading and God will do it. And if our posture is to be continually renewed in the spirit, then like Caleb, we can encourage each other. We can say, come on, guys, we can do this. As the legacy project becomes real and tangible and as we can see things developing and happening, even here in Mount Evelyn for our community, God's going to do it. We can say, come on, guys, we can do this. We've got the creator of the universe giving us favor in this place like we've never had before. It's incredible. But we need to put ourselves in a place to quieten our hearts and our spirits to listen to the voice of God. Because if we're not listening, we're going to get sidetracked real quick. But what are you believing for in 2025? Is the year just about renewing your subscription to church? Or is it the call to continual renewal about the foundation on where you're building your faith for this year? Your relationships, the way that you're going to serve. What needs to be removed from our mind, our heart, our spirit, so that we can hear the voice of God clearly with no white noise, with no static interrupting the broadcast of the voice of the Lord? How can we bring our anxiety and lay it at the feet of the Lord and leave it there? This renewal season that God is calling us to is all about looking forward, but it's about keeping track of where we've seen in those previous steps the move of God. Caleb's legacy was that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Half-hearted followers don't have the kind of conviction that brings renewal. so that they can enjoy the close presence of God himself. Renewal season is all about embracing a new trust in God, already active in a plan for you. And when God is with us, we can certainly do it. We can have that same kind of confidence. But we need to put ourselves in the place where we recognize who God is in our life, where we recognize his voice among all the other noise and listen closely to that. One of the beautiful things that Liv spoke to the team about this morning was the attitude of coming into worship. And she spoke about a song called Daily Bread, and there's a line in it that says this: "We will seek your face before we seek your hand. We want to come into your presence, God, before we bring our list out of our pocket for what we want or what we need." And even if those things are valid, and I know that, like, every week we do prayer requests here because there are people who have needs, absolutely, but we seek his face before we seek his hand. The reason that he provided for so many of his people in the wilderness was because for a lot of the time they were seeking his face, and then he provided. But if we're going to be like the people when they were just grumbling about what they didn't have and we don't see his face, we're never going to recognize where that comes from. And that's going to be an important part for us this year, recognizing where everything that we have comes from. It comes from the God who loves us, who wants us to have a great future and a fantastic 2025. And for me, I want to be like Caleb when I grow up. I want to be that guy. Yeah, thanks, team. You can come. I want to be him. I don't want to be the people who are stuck in their fear and anxiety for another year. I don't want to be them. I want to be the guy who says, "Lord, I've seen what you've done, and this has exceeded all my expectations. I want to get to the end of this year and be able to say that." So let's work towards that. Let's work towards, in this renewal season, having our spirits renewed and given more life, given more trust in the person of God through his son, Jesus. Let's do that this year, shall we? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.